sorry, was we were talking about the end of the expo.
Yes, in 1967,
mm-hmm.
As base administrative officer for Canadian Forces Base Montreal,
mm-hmm.
I had the task of coordinating the arrangements for bands visiting from all over the world and all parts of Canada, where they would be accommodated, buses to get them to and from the expo or wherever they were playing,
mm-hmm.
Coordinating with citizens groups that wanted to play host to various people. We had civilian, they weren't all military bands, they were civilian organizations. We had visiting ships from, must have been about 15 different countries came into the port of Montreal, and as I said, a lot of facilities had to be provided for them. Security was one of the big problems that we had, and the security people came under me, and I had to coordinate with the technical services officer, and he provided the repair of the equipment, transport, and so on. And communications was a big activity, which came under the base admin officer. That was quite an activity. And on top of all, while all this was going on, you've got to remember that the consolidation of the forces was a very emotional and a very difficult period for the people in charge of such activities and other activities. First of all, the old boy network had crumbled to nothing as people tried to get on the bandwagon of the new way, you know, and try to think dark green, as by this time we were all wearing the dark green uniform. You didn't have a standard regulations, administrative or disciplinary, and I wasn't concerned with discipline as well, so courts-martial and boards of inquiry and all these activities that go on normally, you were playing by ear sometimes how you should go about it. And just to make the cheese more binding, I was given the task of coordinating, completing a study on the consolidation of facilities, accommodation, and activities of the three services in the Montreal area. And there was some 25,000 military people involved in the matter. That's when you included the militia people, and there were something like 5,000 regular force among them. There were the three services. The Navy had a very large organization at LaSalle, a big, long-standing historic supply depot for the ships, and they had their several major schools there for the naval training. And I was given a general outline how somebody in material command wanted to see if it were practical to do this and that and the other, and I had to gather the statistics and draw up a plan, closing out certain areas and enlarging others and amalgamating staffs. It was a very major consultant's study, and we completed that, and its recommendations were very largely carried out. And of course, I can't take full credit for that, but I was helped by a naval lieutenant commander who was in charge of the graphics for one of the major schools in the Navy depot. He and I got along famously, and I must say he provided the format for the presentation, which was highly effective. It was done in a ring, circle wing sort of binder with a glossy front with a map of Montreal and with the title of the thing laid over it, and it had good pictures, and it was set up in easy filing system and easy reference and so on. But I must say that was also is a very difficult period, but I got to know more Navy and Air Force people in that 3-year period than I had in my entire career before that as a result of the unification. And I considered that a very valuable aspect of the standardization. Now, of course, I hear just the other day at the Patricia Mess that officially people are now thinking of a step back from the dark green standard dress and so on to something that indicates a difference between the three elements, as the air, sea, and land, or I should say sea, land, and air.
Something like that was proposed by Mr. McKinnon when he was minister in the club.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have been told, apparently, the regular force have been told officially that there is going to be a change in that direction, but it will not be attempted until there are funds to carry it out properly, and I think that's wise. What I'm afraid of is it's going to wind up in the fourth service instead of, we had three before with its own supporting services, and I think what will happen will be three combat services and a support service.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be interesting to see what happens. Anyway, that was a hard 3 years. First time I ever had to take a something to let me sleep was at a period during that time, and I had this friend of mine who couldn't read. He was still coming in uniform, and I even had to forge his name on the final report because he was unable to read it. He's unable to write. His wife and a friend read it to him, and he nodded that he agreed. I knew he would, but because there was nothing in there that had not been along the lines as directed, and it was a well done report. I was proud of it, and so was everybody else. But those are difficult times. And as a reward for that, I was sent to Long Point again. This time I was Ordnance Stores Officer. No, Stores Officer. It used to be called Ordnance Stores Officer. Stores officer of the 25 Canadian Forces Supply Depot,
mm-hmm.
which was the new name for the Central 25 Central Ordnance Depot. Same thing. They did take on food activities. They were making, for instance, emergency packs for combat troops and the food ration packs for Arctic exercises and so on. That was something we'd never done there. It's not very technical, but it was interesting. We had, by this time, unionization had come in to the civilian employees and had been around for a number of years, and in fact had been one of the problem areas when I was down at the base headquarters in Montreal. And I found myself having adjudicated against some of the one case particular that occurred out at the very same depot under some of the people who were still there. I had to reverse the decision punishing people. Now I was back out there, so you can see that there were one or two people who thought that I was not a disloyal person.
Mm-hmm.
That was, again, a difficult time. Personalities were involved. The full colonel who was in charge, I think he was not well. He was away for long periods, and I would have to go and sit in his office, but he denied the fact that I was his second in command. His secretary, whom I had known over many, many years too, had been given strict instructions that I was to see no files. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get the personnel selection officer, who acted as a sort of a small head shrink, you know. People with problems would come to see, and he'd see whether it was a matter of working conditions or something he should refer to a psychiatrist or a medical doctor. And he tried to get him to provide secret reports on officers and senior NCOs. It was a very... And all of this at the time when the mess life, which in the Army is important, in the forces is important. The mess is more than a place where you go to eat. And it had been degenerating to just that, and a place where you drank as well. Decent decorum, proper dress. The ladies who were coming in didn't dress like ladies, as we had always thought they should in the mess. Times were changing. This is now 69, 70. And you know, there had been the Vietnam Revolution in the United States, and the Me Too generation had its sway. Everything that was thought to be right with your father and mother was now to be discarded or, if possible, overturned completely. And you know, it made, for people like myself, it made the mess life a sad experience. I don't know if it's improved, except at the 3 PPCLI where I go, there is the feeling of the old days. Everything is very comfortable to me there, but perhaps they're unique because they're all by themselves here and they're all Army.
Yeah.
You see. But at any rate, that was a very difficult time. Technically, it was. We had a major re-warehousing project there, in which we put a mezzanine floor in our what we call the bin storage section. That was a very large task. We had very small funds to work with. We had to do most of it with our own people in our own budget, own time, and at the same time keep the materials flowing out and being checked in and so on. And we were also at that time still feeling the effects of the naval personnel who had by this time, as a result of the report, started to come in to our depot. And we were handling things like torpedo tubes, not the torpedoes themselves, but and big propellers and drive shafts for destroyers, equipment the like of which we'd never had to handle. It taxed our physical capabilities, but we had good assistance from the people from the Naval Depot. And then summer of 1970, I was offered a job to go overseas to help a Canadian consulting company, Acres International, in Dhaka, East Pakistan, to help the East Pakistan Water and Power Development Authority to set up a supply system which was viable to their requirements. In other words, to teach them or sell them the knowledge I gained in logistics and the Ordnance Corps and the Army generally. And I found that, and then of course since then I've worked 10 years overseas in various countries as a freelance consultant, and have found that the training and experience was very, very valid everywhere and very valuable. But just about winds up.
You felt that was the point when you resigned?
Yes, I resigned 2 years before normal retirement age for rank, and it was a good decision. I think the chance of my getting promoted again was a factor in my decision. I looked around and I could see, and in fact the study had been published, that the number of senior ranks who were retiring over a 10-year period was horrendous, and there was going to be a great gap where nobody had been higher than a major, and now you needed generals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing to do was to start promoting the younger fellows, which was good for them, probably good for the forces, not good for people like me, who were just a little bit too old. But it was a good career, and I personally feel very satisfied, and to the degree that I've done the work I've done, I feel proud of what I've done. I still am associated with military associations, our messes, and I enjoy wearing my mess kit a couple of times a year. And though there are some people who are very embittered by the consolidation of the unification activity and the disintegration of morale and friendship which occurred alarmingly at that time, but now of course that's long past. And
it seems to have worn off slightly.
Yes.
For that, yeah.
Now they're all dark green thinkers,
mm-hmm.
With a difference, and there always will be a difference because there's a difference between land, sea, and air, and you can't. And there's a difference in the interests of the person who supplies technical support to those who are doing the combat activity.
Okay, thank you very much for a moment.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
And hopefully I won't have to come back and bother you again.
Yeah.